All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms 98. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. I'd like to look at the first three verses of this scripture. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we call upon You this evening, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask You, by Your mercy and grace, Lord, would You speak to us in power. Lord, we ask You to help us to worship tonight. Help us to hear. Help us to praise. Help us to rejoice. Help us to be glad. Lord, we ask that You bless the preaching and the hearing. And Lord, we pray for this church down in Pikeville. Pray for Tom and the congregation there. Pray that You would raise up help in this hour of their need. Lord, we ask You to help them even tonight as they're attempting to meet together and worship and bless their time together. Pray for Aaron and during this time, Dale and his wife. And Lord, pray for those that are in our midst that are afflicted, and hurting, and troubled. Lord, bless us here, we ask. I pray that You would sustain us by Your grace and Your power. Thank You that You've kept us to this moment. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Man comes forth from his mother's womb singing a song of praise to himself. A song that's going to be sung by the carnal man concerning his relationship before God is a song of nothing more than arrogant pride. It echoes of self-righteousness in every line. It's got man as its God. It crowns him with nothing more than praise, adoration. It's filled with his works. It's filled with his own worth before God, being able to establish a righteousness before God. The song of the carnal heart makes man to be the author and finisher of his faith. And it portrays the God of all creation as being nothing more than a beggar that's trying to do the best that he can, trying to save somebody if they, by their own free will allow him to. That's man's song. The psalmist says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. This is a fresh, that's what that means, new. A fresh song that's sung not unto man, but it's sung to the Lord. It's a song that is taught to the new heart by the Spirit of God, because Without a new heart, there's no new song. This is the song of redemption. That's that song that the 24 elders sing, casting their crowns before the Lord. And they sing, "You're worthy. You're worthy to receive all honor and glory and praise. You bought us. You bought us off the slave market of the bondage of sin. We had no ability in ourselves to do anything." The Lord said concerning those that He sent to preach the gospel, He said, they're going to speak with a new tongue. Hebrews 10:20 reveals that believers enter into the holiest, that is, the presence of Almighty God, by a new and living way, that is, by the virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by anything that I could do, you could do, I desire to do, you desire to do, by the virtue of the grace of God. This is a new song. Fresh, holy, vibrant. We sing a new song. And these lyrics that we sing are not written from the bondage of sin and Satan itself. Here's what we sing. He hath done marvelous things. Now you think about the difference in man by nature and these words right here. This is what man by nature says: I've done marvelous things. What did the group that's going to stand before God in that day, what are they going to say? The Lord said. They will say, "We've cast out demons in your name. Preached in your name. We've done many marvelous, mighty works." This is a new song. He hath done marvelous things. The word marvelous right there is a word that can only be used concerning God Almighty because it speaks of actions that are beyond the bounds of man. You cannot use that word right there concerning a man. Not that word. He's done marvelous things. It's things that with men are impossible. You can't. He was conceived in a marvelous way. Conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, whatever I can do is going to be tainted because of the way I was conceived. I was conceived in sin. I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. I'm a liar. I'm a liar against God. I'm a liar concerning myself. I don't really believe I'm that bad. He's done marvelous things. Secondly, He lived a marvelous life. He was obedient in every word, every thought, every deed. He said, "I do only always those things that please the Father." What man, concerning the man Christ Jesus, walked in absolute obedience before God? He lived a marvelous life. The man, Christ Jesus, He walked before God with not one infraction, not one thought of an infraction, nothing. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and His obedience is imputed to those that believe. Lived a marvelous life. I'll tell you this. He died a marvelous death. There was the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, hanging between heaven and earth by Himself. Do you know that there's never been another man that's ever died alone? He may have had Satan as his father, but he didn't die alone. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I tread the winepress of His wrath alone," by Himself. He died as the substitute, the absolute substitute for a particularly loved people that God had chosen from the foundation of the world. And here He is, the Lamb. And by one sacrifice, He hath forever perfected all of those that Almighty God ever gave Him. Those that believe, those that will come, those that hear. He died a marvelous death. Here was two thieves, one on each side of Him. I heard someone say one time, there was one dying in his sin, and there was one on the other side dying to sin, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ dying for sin. He died as no man ever died. Marvelous death. He was risen in a marvelous resurrection. He said concerning His resurrection, His death and resurrection, He said, "I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it again." You know, that's a marvelous thing. Here is God Almighty in human flesh. And He said, "I lay down my life." You can't lay down your life. You have no ability to will yourself away. Just give up the ghost. Not as He did. And I can take it back. He ascended marvelously into heaven, resurrected in the very body in which He died. And let me tell you what's marvelous about His ascension. He's seated right now at the right hand of the power of God. And that's the way that men are going to see Him in the day of judgment. Seated, ruling, reigning. There is a man in glory seated on the throne of God. That's a marvelous ascension. Here's the verses we sing. "Sing unto the Lord a new song. He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." All other works, dung. All other means, all other merits except His are excluded. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by the grace of God. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from the curse of sin, deliverance from the curse of the law for His people is His victory. That's the first verse. Second verse, "The Lord hath made known His salvation." How? By the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. Jehovah, the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, hath made known His salvation. You think about the marvelous grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. God, in the likeness of sinful flesh, form, yet without sin. God has been pleased to make known to His people, by His Spirit, His salvation. Salvation is a person. Salvation is the Lord. I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Man could have never discovered God's salvation for himself. Flesh and blood, Peter didn't reveal that to you. My Father which is in heaven. How would you ever have known? You tell me, what man would have ever come up with a marvelous truth of the gospel of free grace? God chose a people before the foundation of the world and chose them in a surety that loved them everlastingly, stood for them everlastingly, justified them everlastingly, based totally that He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You tell me what man that thought entered into. To those that believe not, that's foolishness. That God is sovereign, that God chooses, that God is the determining God of all electing grace. And no. Foolishness. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Nations is what that word heathen means. Nation. Out of every part of this world, in every generation, God's got a people. Beloved. Every place, every nook, every cranny, every tribe, every town. These are not going to be left in the blindness of their own foolishness to continue in the darkness of unbelief. This is the song of the redeemed. His righteousness. His righteousness. His righteousness. Not mine. I don't stand this evening in my own righteousness. And boy, I'm glad for that. I don't stand here this evening by the grace of God, saved by the grace of God. I do not stand here on my own works. I do not stand here before you, a redeemed sinner, by my own merit. I stand here totally on the merit of God's Son, God's grace, God's choice, God's pleasure, God's purpose, God's will. Salvation is of the Lord. Here's the third verse that we sing. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He's remembered. You know, whenever I see myself, inconsistent, and this is every day. Whenever I see myself not as faithful as I realize that I ought to be, and if I can realize it, how much unfaithfulness must there truly be in me? But to stop and think that He has remembered His mercy and His truth toward His people. Ever mindful of an everlasting covenant. Not mindful because of my thoughts, my work. Mindful for the sake of His Son. Listen to Luke 1:68-72. Let me read this to you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant. He hath remembered His mercy His kindness, His faithfulness, by raising up the Lord Jesus Christ. He's remembered mercy. I cannot help but think about that thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Lord, would You remember me? Would You remember me in mercy? He's remembered His mercy and His truth. He's kept His promise. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm embarrassed to think how many times in my heart I've left Him. That's an embarrassing thought. It's an embarrassing thought to think about how many times I've, in my mind, in my prayer, I've been wayward. How inconsistent that I've been. How flippant I've been with hearing. Isn't it embarrassing to think how many times our minds have wandered since we've sat in this message over the last 25 minutes and thought, how many times, where has our mind been at so much of what we've heard right now? Mine has. And I'm sitting here talking, and my mind has wandered. He has remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. I tell you who that is. I tell you who that is. You remember when Jacob was wrestling with a man, and the day began to break, and the Lord who wrestled with Jacob said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I can't. I won't. Not unless You bless me." And he asked Him His name. "What's Your name?" He said, "Jacob, liar, trickster, huckster, supplanter." He said, "Not anymore. You'll be called Israel, Prince with God." He has remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel, all just like Jacob. Those that He chose to show mercy to. Stop as we end right now, before we eat of the Lord's Supper. Stop and think of this blessed song. Here's the song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The elect out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, they've seen it. They've perceived it. The salvation of our God, the deliverance. And you that believe this evening, do you know what? You sing this song. You that believe, you don't sing a song of praise to yourself. I know you don't. You don't sing that. You don't say, "My mighty hand has gotten me the victory." You do not say, "My righteousness has earned me the right to stand before God." That thought makes you sick. That verse of a song turn your stomach. But you know what you admit? I used to sing it. I sang it one time, but not anymore. There's a new song in my heart because He's given me a new heart. May the Lord bless these few words to our understanding and cause us to behold Him who is altogether wonderful and marvelous and gracious and merciful to His people. Amen. I'm going to ask the men if they come. Let's receive the Lord's table.